Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have got a fabulous topic that I know all of you can relate to. It's the big S, stress. You could add the big A, anxiety. Well, we've got a wonderful, wonderful man who's going to be talking with us today, Dr. Murray Grossen. He is a physician that has been a leading pioneer in an arena of expertise we're going to be discussing at length. His book is titled Stressed Anxiety, Your Cure is in the Mirror. Welcome, Dr. Grossen, to the show.
Well, thank you. So happy to be here.
Well, it's a delight having you, and I just get so pleased when I encounter a physician that is willing to think outside the box. But that's not uncommon for you, because you were a pioneer in biofeedback. And you have been using it with people for a long time, since the 70s. And you have so much amazing information in here about various conditions that stress can cause. And you have developed your own process. What interested you in biofeedback? I know how valuable it is. But why was it, when it first came to your attention, that it was so significant to you as a doctor?
Well, we've always known that when people have anxiety and stress, they don't do well on almost any condition. It itches. The more you scratch, the more it itches, the more nervous you get. The more nervous you get, the more it itches, and so on. And we know today that people do not get well from infection if they're under stress. Stress lowers your immune system. So how do we raise the immune system? Well, one thing that definitely always works is to reduce the stress chemicals. Now, when you are stressed, you breathe rapidly. So we teach you to breathe in 4 and out 6 and make your exhalation longer than your inhalation. This sends a message to your stress center. There ain't no tiger, and so these stress chemicals are not released. Now, we also know that when you see a tiger, your muscles tighten up, especially your jaw. So we look in the mirror and see our face relax, the jaw relax, the shoulders relax. That sends a message to your stress center, ain't no tiger, and so you don't get those chemicals. And then your healing is amplified, and you get younger.
Ooh, I like that. Let's see. How can we speed up that process? I don't want to go back to 5. I'll go back to 33.
Okay. I'll take that, too.
Well, Dr. Grossen, I was so intrigued with this. You talked about a number of people. You give exercises through your book, and the first one you gave in the book was, if you're under a lot of stress, get a piece of paper and a pen and write down a pleasant experience. Write out what that meant to you. And it just confirms what I have told people for so many years, and I've heard this from some others that have been on my show, and that is the hand, the writing, connects to the brain. So when you're writing like that, when you're writing out something that's positive, something that really was joyful to you, that automatically puts your brain chemical production factory into a relaxed, we're going to put out good chemical mode. Am I correct?
Yes. You see, if you write down a wonderful meal that you've had and use all your senses, your smell, your taste, your hearing, your feel, and so on, if we draw your blood, we find that you have the same chemicals that you had when you had that wonderful meal. Now, having those same chemicals means that you're in a better state of health. And being in a better state of health, of course, is good. So, but the trick is that you have to use all your senses. See, there's a lot of things about relaxation and so on and so forth, and visualization. But you can't read about visualizing a day at the a happy day at the beach. You have to use all your senses to feel the sand, feel the warm sun, hear the ocean waves, taste a hot dog, and so on. When you do that, then you replicate those same chemicals, and those are the good chemicals.
What is CRP?
Well, that's a very tough one. That's an unusual pain that some people have, and it's really very, very difficult to for some people. Some people will have an ordinary injury, and then they will have much more pain than we expect them to have. And for them, the stress, anxiety situation, improving that can really be helpful.
Well, you talk about correcting the chemicals, and you give a story in your book about a man by the name of Jack Kay. And he was a programmer, and he was going to be going for a job interview. Tell us what happened with him.
Well, see, Jack was at the top of his class in computer programming. But when he went for an interview, he couldn't remember which AC or DC. I mean, his mind just froze, which is not that unusual. Lawyers, when they take the state bar, it happens to them too. Anyway. So he came to me actually for something else. He came to me for a chronic sinus condition, and we talked about relaxation and so on and so forth, and he mentioned that he had this very big interview coming up, and we went through the exercises of visualizing exactly what he felt when he won that prize when he was 17. When he was 17, he won the science prize, and all these famous scientists came over and congratulated him. And, of course, he felt wonderful. So when he went for the next interview, he looked at the silver water bottle on the desk, and that was one of the triggers to remind him to breathe in 4, out 6, and relax the face and so on. So he was fully relaxed, and the interviewer was impressed with him and actually offered him more money than he had planned to, because he had that glow about him, and that was the same glow that he had when he was 17 and won the prize. But again, I must tell you, you cannot do this unless you utilize all of your senses.
Now, that's very important. Many times people will say, just picture it in your mind. And some people are good at doing that, and some people aren't. But involving all of the senses, taste, touch, feel, emotions, the visual, all of that does bring it to life. I mean, that is where movies, when you think about movies, you know that when movies are playing, you can have music that creates an emotion, you have the visual, you've got a combination of things. It's really complex. I think one of the most fascinating demonstrations I saw was a program about some very famous musician in Hollywood. And he said that there was this magnificent movie with Olivia de Havilland, and when they went and played the movie in the theaters, people were laughing. It was because the music score was a particular type. It didn't mesh with the words and the drama, because this was supposed to be a tragedy. It was a love gone awry. So he had to change the music, and the next time they played the exact same movie but with a different musical arrangement that had different sounds and tones, and bingo, they got the exact response, and it ended up being a successful, very successful movie.
Well, you know, 12 O'Clock High was shown to audiences, and it was a total bomb. And then the producer's wife scored it with the music, you know, Do Not Forget Me, for my, you know, and so on. And then it was a total success, because the music built up to that moment when the train was going to arrive. But, you know, people can increase their senses. One of the things I recommend in my book is that you practice, for example, you close your eyes and go to your closet and practice picking out the Angora sweater just by the feel. mm-hmm. and do this for in the refrigerator, you know, feel for the eggs or whatever. And if you do that, if we examine your brain before you do this on a regular basis, and then we examine your brain after you do this on a regular basis, we can see that more parts of your brain are being utilized. And it's the same thing where when people take a very intensive course to learn a new language, mm-hmm. we can actually physically picture exactly which part of the brain is now working, whereas it did not work before.
I just love this stuff. Absolutely love it. One of the comments, not comments, but stories that you share is that you deal a lot, and you mentioned this a moment ago, with scuba divers and pilots. And these are professionals that cannot, under any circumstances, take drugs. Their lives, they would endanger the lives of the people they're working with. They possibly endanger themselves. And you talk about factors that improve diving function, and that one of the most important ones is muscle relaxation and measured breathing. Tell us how it had such an impact on them, and how did you relate this to them? How did you get involved with divers?
Of course, I'm a scuba diver, so...
Ah, there we go.
And in scuba diving, you know, if you can only stay down 20 minutes... you spent a fortune for the dive, and you know, you're not doing well. If you can stay down for 45 minutes, that's much better. So by doing the, what we have is we train our people to raise the finger, take three of those measured breaths, drop the finger, and let that be a signal to completely relax. And so if they get tangled in kelp or whatever, they use the finger, a finger, they raise the finger, then drop the finger, and they have this automatic reflex that they've learned, and that relaxes them, and so they don't waste air. But more important for my divers is people who dive can't take these ordinary allergy pills and sinus mm-hmm. pills. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is we've utilized the frequency of sound for getting their nose back to normal. And the way we do that, we measure how frequently the cilia, little microscopic hairs of the nose, move back and forth. And then we take measures to get them, they were pretty lazy before, so we get them activated by putting in a solution that moves at a harmonious rate that gets the cilia moving back to normal again. And then they don't have to take pills for their sinus.
Fascinating. You talk about how people's DNA is, obviously, we're each unique, but that when it comes to taking medicine, everybody responds differently to the medication. And that is, as far as I'm concerned, that's a given. I mean, I can remember being given a painkiller once when I had a certain physical situation, and it didn't touch the pain, but I was looped. My husband sat and laughed. He said he'd never seen me high, and he said, boy, you are with this pill, one little pill. Of course, I'm very sensitive to medication anyway. But it didn't touch the pain, and my body just never, ever has worked like that. And you have found this in research with placebo examples and real stuff. And how can someone work with that?
Well, actually, Miss Jones... had the bad sinus, and she took the pills for 10 days. And Miss Smith only had to take them for 5 days, where she felt fine and stopped the pills. Now, the difference is, if you understand what the medicine is supposed to do, if you can visualize it, even make a little tiny drawing where the good guys beat the bad guys, the good guys beat the bad germs or the bad cancer, and if you relax... You know, don't put reduce your anxiety level, and visualize that the medicine is working. Then you bring your brain into being. You put your brain to work to do the job, and the brain is your ultimate healer. This is why, when somebody gets a shot of morphine every 4 hours, who needs it? And then on the fourth shot, we give him distilled water or placebo. He gets exactly the same reaction that he did with the real morphine, because
Amazing.
The brain knows what to do. The brain has learned what to do. Many years ago, doctors would give the red pill, and the red pill worked fine. And then they ran out of red pill covers or whatever, and they gave them the white pill instead. Doc, that didn't work at all. And this happened to me, by the way. We were giving this woman medication four times a day, and then this very fine pill came out where you only have to take it once a day. So I told the patient, this is a much better pill, you just take it once a day. She said, no, it won't work for me. And I insisted on it. And, of course, it didn't work for her. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that the more you understand what the pill is supposed to do, now, unfortunately, what people are doing today, when you get a prescription, you go on the Internet and look for the side effects. And then if you read real hard about these side effects, your brain may pick it up, and your brain may do this thing. Mm-hmm. We've seen this happen. So, but if you understand that the pill blocks certain acid production in your stomach and how it does that, then the pill can be much more effective, and you will get well much, much faster, and also save a lot of money because you don't have, instead of two pills a day, you just use one. And we see this with my patients all the time.
You have a wonderful story in here about an attorney who went through a very serious concussion and was unconscious for 3 days, and he was thought to be fully recovered when he did go back to work. This guy was exactly the opposite of what he had been before, and he just was a mess, lost his family, became an alcoholic. It was just so sad, as the story goes. And your positioning was the people around him really didn't understand that they had to rewire the brain. And this is something that I think is so exciting, because instead of the attitude of, oh, gee whiz, if you've had a stroke, you can't ever recuperate. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. The brain is absolutely amazing at what it can do.
Well, you left out the most important thing of all. He was an attorney, and he lost his practice and family and so on and so forth, became an alcoholic. And then he ended up on Skid Row, and he got a job working in this mission as a janitor. Well, the head of the mission treated him, so to speak, and reprogrammed his brain, so to speak. And not only did he reprogram his brain so that he was back to being a good person again, but he actually ended up taking the state bar and getting his license back as a lawyer.
Incredible.
So his brain was changed first with the accident, the coma, and second with the missionary person. Helping him. So I think it's very important that people understand the principle of neuroplasticity. You can change the brain. You can, for example, you've never played tennis. Now you get out there and you have a coach and you learn how to serve and so on. Again, your brain has changed. We can actually go in and show on the MRI a new area of the brain. I put it another way. When you see a red light, you press on the brake automatically. You can be on the phone, you can be, you know, chatting with somebody, but you see that red light and your foot automatically goes on the brake. We can go into your brain and take out that sensor, and now you have to think and decide for yourself about stopping on the red light. But the reverse of that is that you can learn certain good habits just by repetition.
Mm-hmm. By doing something over and over and over and over again.
That's why in my book I have a lot of I tell you in the foreword that we're going to repeat this several times because that's the way the brain is trained to do this thing.
You mentioned the Alexander method of muscle mind control. Tell us about this man and what he was, what he did, and how this evolved.
Well, actually, he's the one that found this method that I use. He was an Australian actor, and he would get up and do these Shakespearean monologues, and people would pay to see him. Well, his voice went bad, And he went to all the doctors, and no one could seem to help him. So he rigged up a bunch of mirrors, and as he gave his monologue, he looked in the mirror to see what his muscles might be doing wrong. And then he saw that certain muscles are tightening up at a certain area of his speech. And so he learned to see those muscles relax. All the great speech teachers and singing teachers today emphasize a relaxed throat when you sing. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of those opera singers, they look like they're half asleep because mm-hmm. they've learned to relax that throat. And that's very important for any speaker and so on. Because if you tight, in other words, your vocal cords move back and forth and they come together. So if they come together on a nice regular basis, you don't get hoarse. But if they come together and bang because they're working against muscles that are opposing that movement, then you get a strain of the vocal cords. And then you end up in my office.
How is color applied in this work of visualization, of relaxation? Color has a significant chapter in your book. Tell us about that.
Well, you see, again, you see the red light and you stop. You see the green light and you go. You've learned this habit. You have this circuit built into you. So what I want to do, I want to have it when you see a green whatever, a green dress, a green car, you automatically relax your face. You don't think about it. Because we don't want you to sit down and say, gee, today I'm going to relax my face. That's not what the book is about.
Mm-hmm.
What stress, anxiety, your cures in the mirror is about is that all day long you see red and you relax, you take a nice breath. You see green, you relax your face. You see silver, you drop your finger and remember to go into relaxation and so on. And so it becomes as automatic as breathing. That's the goal.
Well, I think it is a wonderful aspect. Now, what I wanted to do was cover a few conditions. I was talking with someone the other day about anxiety, and I was talking about breathing, and they said, oh, I'm getting these panic attacks, and what it is, they're in a caretaker position, they are extremely stressed about money, and there's just all kinds of anxiousness that they go through. What would you recommend to someone that might be listening today for them to do relative to relieving anxiety?
Well, there are 10 steps, there are 10 actions in my book, and I really think you have to go through all of them every single day. For someone who's having anxiety attacks, they must spend at least 15 minutes a day practicing these different techniques. Anxiety, there's an actual chemical in your body that is, you know, doing all this. And some of the anti-anxiety pills, you know, do work, but there's that level where they're not that bad off and where the practicing reducing your chemicals that are negative is the cure. And I do recommend that people spend that time doing these exercises. Of course, there's more to it than just the anxiety. There's also the ambition, the creativity. In other words, as I point out in my book, the more creative you are, the younger you are. And creativity is not necessarily a great book or a great music. It's making your supper dish a little different, dressing a little different, wearing a little different clothing, and so on. And when you go to the old person's home and you go to the workshop where they have the arts and crafts and you see the people making things out of clay, you can see that look of relaxation and joy on the face, and
mm-hmm.
that's good. So
mm-hmm.
there's no one... See, it's not so much the bad boss that makes you have the anxiety. It's the chemistry that you produce when you associate the bad boss. And remember one thing in my book, which everyone knows about, when you have the bad boss, you just imagine him naked with a small penis.
Well, that's one way to look at him. Tinnitus.
I'm sorry?
Tinnitus. Let's talk about that for a moment, I've known
again,
so many people suffering from that.
Yes, they do. And let's prevent that by not playing the music so loud. And let's prevent that by not sitting up front in front of the loudspeakers when you go to the rock concert. Those rock concerts are loud enough to cook a meal with.
That's the truth.
Of energy those speakers put out. And all of those performers that stand in front of the speakers all lose their hearing and get tinnitus. I train my performers to stand behind the speakers. So they're standing behind the speakers, and you're standing in front of the speakers, and you're sitting in front of the speakers. And by the way, I hope you'll forgive me, this is very important. When you go to the wedding, they stick the kids in front of the 8-foot speakers.
Mm-hmm.
This is very bad, very bad. And I ask my everyone to carry, you can buy a loud sound meter and your iPhone. And when you are in a situation like that, look at the sound meter and it'll tell you it's 110 decibels of sound, which is deadly. So you know that that's bad for your child and for yourself. But anyway, getting back to tinnitus, the more anxiety, the worse the tinnitus. Again, the more you scratch, the more nervous you get.
Mm-hmm.
So with tinnitus, it's really important to go through the 10 minutes of relaxation exercises every day. And what happens is that you no longer have the anxiety reinforcement. So it becomes more or less like a scar or something that you've had, and you can learn to mask it with ordinary background sound.
Mm-hmm. You presented a story in your book that I thought was very profound. Your material and your information is really excellent, and the way it's written makes it easy for just about anybody to comprehend it. But you talked about a man whose name was Jonathan. He was 45 years old. He worked for Walmart as a bookkeeper, and this poor guy was having headaches that were just driving him crazy. Tell us what happened with him, because to me, this too often is a scenario that shouldn't be playing, but it is.
Well, you see, John almost went to the psychiatrist for his headaches. He almost went to the neurologist for his headaches, but fortunately for him, he came to see me about his headaches. And so we watched him filling out the information sheet, and the guy was, you know, had his head practically, you know, on the paper. He couldn't see well. He was 45 years old, and he needed reading glasses. That was the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Once he got, I sent him to 99-cent store, and he got the reading glasses, and that was the end of his headaches. Same thing happens. People will get a new computer or a new job, and they have a beautiful view out there. So they stick the computer in front of the beautiful view, and they start getting headaches. Well, what's happening is they're getting the glare from the beautiful view, which causes their eyes to squint, so they can't see the computer well, and so they get headaches.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about all these physical things as well. It's, everything is not stress. I mean, my wife's friend came to her and complained about having these headaches because of stress, and she was thinking about quitting her job. So she casually mentioned, yeah, her nose bothers her sometimes. So my wife sent it to me, and we found bad sinus condition, which was the cause for a headache. It was not stress. So all is not stress.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the key. The key that I wanted people to be aware of is observation. And sometimes we can't look at ourselves. We honestly are not able to see what we're doing. And I think of individuals that I know that when you're able to stand back and you're observing and they're talking about certain things and you will try to tell them, they don't want to acknowledge it. And it gets to be a little bit tough. But I really like the various points of information that you bring out regarding all kinds of things like fatigue and overweight and post-traumatic stress and autoimmunity. I mean, you touch on all of this, and I know we're not going to have time to go through that because we're just about out of time right now. But Dr. Grossin, your book, Stressed Anxiety, Your Cure is in the Mirror. What is your website so people can check it out?
Yes, it's www.grossaninstitute.com. Again, grossaninstitute.com. And we also have a Facebook with the same name, and people are invited to ask questions, and I try to answer them.
Well, I think your book is a powerhouse of information. Not only do you talk about stress and how we can, whether we got a headache or there's something else that's going on, being aware that we do have the opportunity to take the initiative and the simple steps you recommend to do, utilizing the aspect of repetition so that we are going to be able to enjoy better health. And stress is a major challenge, and it's not just with adults, it's with kids as well. So I think that so much of what you have in here is really an interesting read and an educational one. So for those of you listening, go to grossaninstitute.com, and that's spelled G-R-O-S-S-A-N, institute.com, and you'll find out more information. But the details in the doctor's book is just, they're just excellent, and it's Your Cure is in the Mirror. Thank you, doctor, for being with me today.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
Goodbye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would just enjoy doing that tremendously. So here is the worldwide toll-free telephone number to call in to, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I've got to share something with you. Do you like chocolate? I think chocolate is just absolutely marvelous. Well, guess what they found out in research? I love all these different research things. I don't know how people get paid for doing this, but they do. They say if you're on the road, if you're going to be on a long road trip, or you're simply, you know, running around town, according to a study that was done in the journal Physiology, It reveals that eating 1 to 2 ounces of dark chocolate before you depart can help you save. Wow. Is that ever a good reason to have a piece of chocolate? Yes. Now, apparently cocoa contains compounds called flavanols, and that boosts blood flow to the eyes, which powers up your visual contrast sensitivity and motion detection. In other words, what this is really saying is that flavanols enable you to spot difficult-to-see objects like debris in the road, a car that's about to cut you off, and any other hazards. And they're antioxidant-rich. Those compounds also increase blood flow to the brain, improving your spatial memory and spatial ability. Of course, that is very important when you're driving. But more than anything else, here's other good news about chocolate. Researchers from the University of Reading say these benefits last up for up to 5 hours after eating the chocolate. Woo-hoo! Well, I think that's a good thing, don't you? I think chocolate is absolutely marvelous, and who cares about the other stuff? But the truth is, I have to share a story with you. Years ago, I had as a next-door neighbor a nurse. Sandy was studying medicine, and at the college, she had a professor. This professor had traveled to South America and had done a lot of research and study about chocolate on her own. And she told her class that if they really wanted to enjoy very good health, that chocolate should be included in their food program on a daily basis. And when Sandy told me this years ago, I said, boy, that's a good program. She said, yes. And this teacher, who at the time was close to her 80s, she told her students that it was a very healthy addition to the fact of health. And she said, the sugar doesn't hurt you and the milk doesn't hurt you. But what you need to remember is that you want to use the best chocolate you possibly can. So I just love it when I come across articles that absolutely affirm what this professor at a college was teaching her students so many years ago. Consistency, well, and like the doctor said earlier, repetition works. Yes. So, a good piece of chocolate. But make sure it's good chocolate. Don't get this chocolate that's got so much wax in it, you're lucky if you can even taste it. Invest in good chocolate. And the dark chocolate is just wonderful. But chocolate really is something that can make a big difference in your energy level during a day. Maybe just having a little tiny square of it. It's really good stuff. Cultural story. What can that be? Neil Donald Walsh is a man who is recognized for his book, Conversations with God, and he's had so many other things. Neil has been on my show more than once. He actually has more than 24 books, and he had 6 New York Times bestsellers. And he's just a man that has a real sensitivity about life. He travels all around the globe. And somebody once asked him about cultural story. And he said he sees humanity today rewriting it. He said the shift is away from the central idea of separation to the new idea of embracing the unity of all things. This includes the oneness of that which is divine with all that is. When the shift is complete, and we have the opportunity to make it so, all the world will change, killing and oppression will disappear, no one will ever again deliberately hurt another, and we will get on with our true purpose in life to evolve the human spirit through the expression and the experiencing of our divinity. I thought I would share those words with you by Neil, because I think they're pertinent. When you look at so many things that are going on today, you see all of the upheavals in London, and you look at organized structure of disarray and destruction. You look at the famine that's going on in Africa. There's always something happening in the globe, or on the globe, I should say, that creates a lot of distortion. And it really wouldn't take much to shift it. However, it has to start with the individual, and it has to start with thinking. It was a few months back I interviewed two young men who had survived the death march in Sudan. It was African against African. There were two different groups, but the opportunity for butchery was just unbelievable. These two young men were 7 and 8 years of age when their families were butchered right in front of their eyes. They survived. They now are in the United States and have gone to college. And one of these young men had a brother that's managed to survive, and they were reunited. And whenever they'd get news about the tremendous, hideous activity that was going on back in Africa, the younger brother would get so agitated and would say, "We need guns. We need to be able to go out. We need to be able to fight them because they're killing and killing and killing. We've got to go, and we've got to do it differently. We've got to go back, and we've got to kill them because it's the only way it's going to end." The older brother would listen to the younger one. However, he said to his younger brother, "No, that's not the way you do it. You have come to the United States, and you have seen what opportunity can bring, and you're being educated. It is very important that you understand the only way change is going to evolve is if we educate those who do not know any better." He said, "So go to school, get your education, as I am getting mine, so that we can make a difference, so that we can take back knowledge and understanding and share it with those who are willing to learn." And he said, "That's the only way change comes about." And this is something that so impressed me with these two young men, and they're now in their early 30s, and they do plan on going back to the Sudan. That's their home. But they're going back armed, armed with the understanding and knowledge that they must educate and eradicate the ignorance and the fear that caused such horrors years ago. And sadly, they're still going on today. But it can all start with one person that says, "It's up to me. I can't be concerned about anybody else, but I'm going to go and I'm going to make a difference." That is where it begins. You can think about things all day long, but unless action follows thought, you're not going to get much of a result. Action needs to follow thought. Gandhi produced that result, and the world was affected and changed. And there are people today that carry that forward. Mother Teresa did it. And there are many, many, many more whose names will never be in the public ledgers of fame and popularity or notoriety. We can make a difference when we take our positioning and we hold true to it. We don't try to force. We don't try to judge. We don't try to cram anything down somebody's throat. We lead by example. We represent what we want them to really know and understand. And that makes a difference. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We'll be back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. For those of you in Western Washington tomorrow, wow, we're going to be in the second weekend of the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I'm there. My booth has giant yellow banners with gigantic lions that are brilliant red on them. I hope you'll come by and say hello, but let me tell you something. If you want to have a fabulous time this weekend, and the sun is shining here, woohoo, we can't go wrong with that. It is going to be glorious, the jousting, the games that can be played by kids, all of the crafts representing the Renaissance period, magicians, we have all kinds of entertainers, puppeteers, you name it, it's there. It is marvelous. And it starts at 10 in the morning, goes till 6 in the evening, Saturday and Sunday. It is a wonderful family activity. So I hope you'll look me up when you come out, but put it on your calendar. If you're wondering what to do and what you could do that's economical, a lot of fun, and different, come to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. And go to their website, and you will be able to find out all the information for parking, directions, what it costs to get in, and all this kind of good stuff, and more, and wonderful videos they've got there. So check it out, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I'll be there. Look for me because I'm doing many sessions for people, and I also have an abundance of books. Now, next week, we've got a wonderful lineup of people. Summertime is a great time to just relax with a good book. If you enjoy history, and if you want to find out about world realities and living in the West, well, we're going to have Peter Decker on Monday, Saving the West. Wow, what a cool book. I'm telling you, this was just really, and it's in modern day. I mean, it's just absolutely wonderful. It talks about ranching, the Wild West, the modern West, and New York City. So you got all kinds of stuff, and we'll be talking about that on Monday. Tuesday, we're going to be talking about beauty without injections. Helen Day. Whoa, does this lady know her stuff. And then we're going to be talking about salesmanship. Julie Steelman is a woman who made $100 million in sales, and she decided she was going to write a book on how effortless, yes, how you can do sales, and believe me, it's well done. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Jim Beach back in Virginia. We're going to be talking about School for Startups. If you're person that is thinking about going into business for yourself, you're not going to want to miss this. Jim has got an awesome publication here. And then, a week from today, Tom Sawyer, the renowned writer for Murder, She Wrote, a series that went on and on and on, and by golly, this guy is great. He came out with a book called The 16th Man. Ooh, I'm telling you, good stuff. So we've got some wonderful guests coming up, and even more for the rest of the month. If you want to find out more about it, just go to bbsradio.com. Check out under show information who is going to be coming up and joining us here on the Donna Sebo Show. And I think you'll have a lot of fun recognizing it. Green marketing, that has become the buzzword. Is it green? What is it that's healthy? Green this, green that, green the other. Well, I'll tell you what. It can be fraudulently used. It can be very, very disappointing. Now, according to the American Marketing Association, green marketing should be the marketing of products that are presumed, I say the word presumed, to be environmentally safe. Now, green marketing is supposed to incorporate a broad range of activities. What does it include? Product and advertising modifications, as well as changes to production, process, and packaging. So it is really growing. There are all kinds of people that are coming up with innovative ideas. There is a plastic made from corn that is biodegradable. There are so many things that people are understanding that they can change. But how do we as consumers know? I mean, how many of us are educated on the chemistry of what is biodegradable and what isn't. How many times have we been disappointed to find out that a certain plastic, if you put it in the microwave, it creates toxins in your food. If you leave water in it and it's out in the sun, it creates a toxicity and you're guzzling it down. I mean, there's so many things we just don't know, and little by little it gets out to us. Well, apparently, the Federal Trade Commission is starting to review green guidelines to lay out the groundwork for what really makes a valid green claim. And they've been designed to help marketers avoid making environmental claims that are not true. And that is going to be a tough one. Now, here are some revisions to what has been done in the past, and we're going to be having a lot more of this. One is, marketers should not make unqualified general environmental benefit claims such as green or eco-friendly. Seals and certifications are considered endorsements. So it means that those people that are marketers may need to disclose any material connections with the certifier, and third-party certification does not eliminate a marketer's obligation to have substantiation for its claim. Now, when they claim that a product or package is biodegradable, it means that it will completely decompose no more than 1 year after customary disposal. Also, it addresses claims of recyclability and introduces a three-tiered analysis for disclosing the limited availability of recycled programs. They also should specify the source of renewable energy if they're making renewable energy claims. And if a company sells a renewable energy certificate for renewable energy they generate, it should not represent that they use renewable energy. A lot of companies are claiming to be green, and they're not. So you really need to be able to evaluate it. And little by little, I think we're going to get more and more education. Now, the FTC has a couple of brochures out. You can go to Green Advertising Claims. There is FTC.gov, and you can search out for Green Advertising Claims, and also an EcoSpeak, a user's guide to the language of recycling. And you just search the language of recycling under the FTC.gov. And go to FTC.gov/energy to find out about their website on that information as well. This is Donna Sebo. A beautiful weekend is in front of you. Wherever you go, hope you have a fabulous time. Relax. Enjoy. Don't get stressed. It's not worth it. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Enjoy. I'll talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.